Last week, Levi delivered the doctrine of the Lord's Supper, which is an ordinance that's given, the church practices it by the command of the Lord Jesus. And today we look at the doctrine of baptism, which was also commanded by Jesus in the Great Commission after his resurrection. You know it, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, literally says, "All authority in heaven and on earth was given to me. Go, therefore, disciple all the peoples, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to be keeping as much as all I commanded you." So the Lord commanded that this is what we would be doing. We'd be baptizing disciples. And baptizing simply means immersing. To baptize means to immerse the substance into which the person is immersed. Must be specified. Through our church traditions, we probably always associate the word baptized with water, but that's not always the case in the scriptures. And in the Great Commission here, what we're seeing, Jesus specified the substance that we're to be immersing disciples into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's our conviction that these words do not speak primarily of water. Primarily, Jesus' words here specify baptism into the name of the triune God. Especially in the ancient culture of the scriptures, a name is a verbal marker to represent the whole person and his character. When we hear a name, we think of that person and all that person is. And in scriptures like Isaiah 30, 27, the name of Yahweh is personified. The name signifies God himself. And we believe this is the primary sense of Jesus' command in the Great Commission to be baptizing into the name. It means that we're to be baptizing disciples, immersing them into the person of the three in one God. And that is crazy. I mean, how does a person get into the person of God? We first plant the seed of the gospel in his heart, because that seed is God's means to cause the hearer to become born again. 1 Peter 1, 23 and 25. God gives the disciple a new spirit with the Holy Spirit in him. And this is what John the Baptist said was superior to his baptism in water. He said, "The one coming after me will be greater than me." He's superior because his baptism is superior because he alone will baptize in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Christ, Jews or Greek, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." That is the ultimate baptism. And the results of this new creation are just amazing. The new disciples' spirit becomes one with the spirit of Christ, 1 Corinthians 6, 17. So he truly comes to be seated in Christ in the heavenly realms, because his spirit is where the spirit of Christ is, and that's on the throne in the heavenly realms, Ephesians 2, 6. And according to Colossians 3, 3, his life is hidden with Christ in God, in the Spirit, in Christ, in God, the Trinity. So the new disciple is literally, spiritually, in the name of the triune God. Literally, spiritually, immersed in the Spirit, in Christ the Son, and in the Father. And I think that's just astounding. We must learn ourselves, and we must teach our disciples the incredible things that took place when they first believed. They must be taught to find their identity in Christ. And God designed a tangible teaching tool for the new disciple to learn his identity, and that is baptism in water. First, I got to say that it's so sad and it's so grievous that many ministries and entire denominations think that a person must be baptized in water in order to be born again and saved. They think that water baptism is the moment that a person's sins are forgiven The moment that he's baptized in the Holy Spirit is then when he's in the water. And this is such a serious distortion of the gospel of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we're offering a 7-page article online which contains these words. You can go to project128.com/baptism. And part of what that says is here, there is not one single instance in the scriptures where it says explicitly that someone received the Holy Spirit by being baptized in water. On the contrary, at least 5 occasions in the book of Acts demonstrate that people receive the Holy Spirit separate from water baptism. And I'm tempted to say a lot more about that, but I'm going to skip this paragraph for the sake of time, and you can check it out online. But we believe in what is called believer's baptism, that only believers should be baptized. We do not baptize babies because nowhere in the scriptures does it say to do that, because babies can't believe yet. And for grown children and for adults, we don't teach forgiveness through water baptism. We don't confuse baptism in the Holy Spirit with baptism in water, because so many scriptures make clear that the new birth, forgiveness, justification, salvation, these occur the moment a person believes in Christ's finished work before they then obey water baptism. And I hope you'll be careful. There's correction that needs to be stated, and we've got to be careful. We've got to preserve the purity of the gospel, but I don't want you to miss the positive and the joyful celebration of baptism that we believe, because when it's properly understood, water baptism is a wonderful outward expression of that prior inward faith. The believer reenacts symbolically what's already happened in the spiritual realm when he believed. The disciple proclaims his faith to the community of faith and identifies himself with Christ and with them in Christ. And the disciple is lowered into the water. That's the immersion, lowered into the water to symbolize how God united him with Christ in Christ's own death and burial. So he's buried in the water, and then he's raised back up to symbolize the resurrection that has happened in his spirit. Resurrection with the new birth that has already happened through faith, through grace, because of his union with the resurrected Christ. So the disciple then, in this outward symbol that's teaching him and teaching the community and proclaiming faith and glorifying Christ, is saying that he has been crucified with Christ, he's dead, buried with Christ, raised, Romans 6 says, to walk in newness of life. And so this act of baptism, this act of obedience is a proclamation that the disciple is pledging to walk in that newness of life in the Spirit for the glory of the Father in the preeminence of the Son. And lastly, I'll just say to further reinforce our, even though we're not saying you're saved by this act, we want you to do this. We encourage disciples to obey and do this immediately, that at Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, Jesus received revelation of the Father's pleasure. I mean, he ripped the heavens open and he says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I delight." And the disciple being baptized in water today can also hear through the spirit of adoption, "This is my beloved son or daughter in whom I delight." So we encourage every believer to obey this and obey the Lord Jesus. Be baptized in water immediately, as soon as you're certain of your salvation and your commitment to be a disciple. And if you have any questions, please talk to one of the shepherds here. We would love to help further clarify, to further explain, further encourage for this joyous thing.
Amen. Amen. Our garter of the truth, our proclaimer of the word. Isn't that great? It's good stuff, the gospel. Excellent job, Spencer. It's great and thematic that would be shared today, because we are baptizing people at the Creewells pool here afterwards, which we're inviting everyone to this kingdom party just after the service. And we would want to say, I know Joel's going to baptize a couple of his kids and John, the twins, and if anybody else needs to be baptized, you've not had that full appreciation, and you would like to be born again, number one, to receive Christ and have that inward transformation, we pray at the preaching of the gospel that that transformation would happen, and you do not have to wait for months to get baptized. You can get baptized immediately if you've received the gospel. Also, if you have been baptized and you felt like I didn't understand it, I wasn't part of it, I want to say that I believe that that is, it's not illegal for you to dip again because you want to make a proclamation of faith and because you get what's going on now. If you were baptized and you thought you were getting saved, that's missing it. Now, here's the truth. And if you'd like to say, hey, I have received Christ post my baptism when I was a kid, and I would like to make that fresh declaration of an allegiance with Jesus and I'm in him and I'm breaking away from Adam and his race, please do that. We can do that spontaneously today, and we invite you to that, but we do want to invite you to the baptism and to the party afterwards and leave. I'll say something about this.